Not every haunting comes from the outside. Some begin deep within. When fear, guilt, or trauma go unhealed, they don't just haunt the mind. They send out signals. And sometimes, something answers. In Hour 2, Kadrick Olson returns to expose the connection between our shadows and the entities they can attract. With wisdom from the Whisperers and years of direct encounters, he challenges the fear-based narratives and asks, are some spirits simply feeding off what we won't face? Joining me now on the Coldwell Banker, John Schuster Hotline, Kadrick Olson. Kadrick, thank you for staying with me for another hour here.
You bet. Thank you for still having me. I'm loving this.
Shadow work. Mm-hmm. The dark side. There's a gentleman by the name of Hanakia Zedek here in Minnesota. And I went to a few of the conferences where I heard Hanakia talk about working in the dark. And I thought, oh, this guy's not my cup of tea. This is dark. This is black magic. This is sinister. This is no. What he's talking about is that there is a balance in nature, that you can't just work in a place of light without understanding the dark, without understanding shadow work, without understanding these things. So we use words that sound creepy and appealing and frightening and exciting all at once. But really, it's talking about things that are more esoteric, more conceptualized, again, kind of like the veil, right? So talk to me and give an explanation, if you will, Kadrick, to the audience. Shadow work, what does that mean, and how does it work?
Absolutely. This is why I kind of like to say I work on the darker side of spirituality to help you find your light, because shadows are the things that we hide about ourselves, the things that we're ashamed of, the things that we're afraid of, the gifts and talents and superpowers that we have that we've been told are evil or bad, that make us a bad person. And so we stuff all of these things down. We refuse to acknowledge them. We won't look at them. We don't want to even say that they exist, but they're still a part of us. They're still influencing us. They're still shaping the things we believe about ourselves, the things we believe about the world, our place in the world. And they are literally creating the world around us, literally creating the reality around us. And when we take that moment to acknowledge those shadows, to recognize them for what they really are, that fear is protecting you, anger is protecting you, that there is something that was happened in your life where you needed to learn to be afraid of whatever it was, that you needed to learn to have these attributes to you, and they saved your butt. They saved your life when you were at that time period. You needed that. And now that you've grown older, now that you're in a different place in your life, they're holding you back. They're keeping you restrained. But they're calling out, they're showing up in little ways, that, like little annoyances, behavioral patterns that keep showing up over and over, sabotage, bad relationships. They just show up as not as a way to ruin your life, but as a means of going, hey, I'm ready to deal with this. I'm ready to acknowledge this pain. I'm ready to acknowledge this hurt. And if we stuff it down, it will find a way to come back up. But shadow work gives us the tools to just sit with that fear, with that anger, with the shame, with those suppressed gifts, to acknowledge what they are, where they came from, what they think they're doing, and what's so wonderful and amazing about you that they had to be there in the first place. And when you bring that light of awareness and acceptance to those shadows, they transmute into something so beneficial and so wonderful for you.
Kadrick, I'm going to drop a bomb, a knowledge bomb on people right now, and hopefully you'll either tell me I'm on target with this, or you can lambaste me and drag me into the sunlight so I can burn and sparkle like a vampire in Twilight. For people that walk in that place of fear, as we've been talking about tonight, for people that stuff those things down, for people that are fearful of Ouija boards, fearful of black magic, I want all of you to know right now, each and every person listening, and bear with me, hold on, don't just turn off the radio or change the dial because of what I'm about to say. Let me say it, and then let me explain it. But each and every one of you are black magic practitioners. Each one of you are dealing in witchcraft. Not me, Dave. I'm a good Christian. Sure you are. And how many times do you think to yourself, I'm a failure. I'm fat. I'm bald. I'm stupid. I'm not worthy of this job. I'm not worthy of this life. I'm not worthy of the love that I have in my life. Ooh, I'm poetic and didn't even know it, right? That is black magic. Words have power. You are constantly casting spells on yourself and your universe. You are constantly altering the parameters by throwing out dark magic. And then you're surprised when it comes back at you and you say, oh, see what the universe is doing to me? Yes, I do, because I'm looking at the mirror and I see who's throwing the magic at it. And I can see that the universe is like, oh, okay, you're dumb. You don't deserve this. You don't belong. And it's going to give you these things, which it seems like is what you were talking about with the shadow work. Those are the elements, the part of our shame, the parts of us that we tuck away. But instead of putting them away, putting them in a place of shame, taking them out, acknowledging that they exist, and finding a way to work in concert with both sides of the duality of humanity, the good and the bad, right? That's, to me, where magic lies. And that you're not working just black magic. You work white magic. You work love magic. You work spells constantly. Music is the most powerful magic on the planet, mm-hmm. because it captures you and it brings you to a time and a place, and it opens you in ways that nothing else can. But what is it? It's rhythmic nature. It's words that are spoken or sung in a way that brings you out of what you're thinking and into a different realm. And we are casting spells, right? How many, I'm curious, Kadric, growing up, how many love spells did you send out that we now know as mixtapes?
Right. I've done a couple of those. Absolutely. You betcha. And you're absolutely right. Now, I've never put those words to it, that we're black magicians weaving black spells and curses on ourselves. But in essence, that is what it is. Our thoughts, our beliefs, the alignment of our energies within us create a causal field that draw people, situations, and circumstances to us based upon that energy that we are generating. Similarities attract and perpetuate. And so if we're telling ourselves, oh, I suck, I'm not worthy at this, I'm terrible, I deserve to have a bad relationship, great. You're doing a great job of manifesting. You're doing wonderful. You're just letting that shadow manifest for you. And you know what we're really good at manifesting? Comfort zones. Even if it's disruptive and chaotic and awful, that's our comfort zone. And sometimes doing that shadow work, the most uncomfortable part is realizing, ooh, I have to put away this disruption. I can set aside that disruption that I've lived with for 30, 40 years. And now I put that aside. Who am I going to be? Who am I really? Because underneath all of those shadows is you, the authentic self. And that's what shadow work is all about, is uncovering what those shadows were really hiding. But then you start to create from that authentic self. And things get so much better because you're willing to look into the darkness. It's amazing stuff.
Amazing and terrifying all at once. But what isn't? Love is amazing and terrifying, right? Challenging yourself is amazing and terrifying. It's okay that these two things coexist. And pushing beyond the limits of your boundaries is where you find magic, is where you find the next evolution of your being. Putting yourself in uncomfortable positions in a way to explore that the glass ceiling above you is no more real than the veil between our world and the next, right?
Absolutely 100% correct.
And you'll push. And then you realize, I didn't even feel the glass break, and I'm much higher up than I ever was before.
Absolutely. I've seen it happen so many times with clients and students that are doing the shadow work. They're like, what? Where did this come from? Where did that opportunity happen? How did that happen?
Right.
You cleared that out of the way, made it happen.
When we come back, let's throw another wrinkle into this sheet of life, right? And talk about shadow people. People have encounters with the dark all of the time. What are these beings? I have some thoughts. I'd love Kadric's ideas. We'll talk about that when we return to your home for the very best in paranormal programming. Every Sunday night, you can tune in right here to the Paranormal 360. Dark shadows. Right? Something we should be afraid of, but ran for many years on TV because it was so popular. It gave us a look at a different side of life. You could watch Days of Our Lives and General Hospital, which to me are much more terrifying than anything that was ever in the Collins home, right? Barnabas Collins, they were about family and love and exceeding beyond the expectations of what the real world could do. And I watch shows like General Hospital, Days of Our Lives, As the World Turns, they are filled with darkness, true darkness, and betrayal and anger and hatred and resentment and jealousy. Holy cow. Sometimes it's the perspective you give something that makes you feel more comfortable. People, Kadric, are seeing shadow figures. And people are like, Dave, isn't that dark? And I say, why? Well, it's dark. It's a dark shadow. And I go, maybe that's legitimately the shadow of the man that's been left behind. that is all that is still remaining of that person. And it might be the shame. It might be the guilt, the base animal instinct of what once was our soul. But how many people are actually, and I think this is so weird, Kedrick. I ask people in large groups all the time, how many of you have witnessed a shadow person? They raise their hand. How many of you witnessed it in your bedroom at night when you are the most vulnerable? And there'll still be a large group of people with their hands up. And I go, and how many of you, once you get past the shock and awe of, oh my God, there's something in my room, do you just roll over and go back to sleep? And almost all of them keep their hands up. And I'm like, isn't that interesting? Because if it was something truly evil, the last thing you're going to do is roll your back to it and go to sleep. So right. To me, that proves that we're already in touch with that darkness. And that might just be an element of who you are. Maybe sitting up and confronting it, you're confronting yourself. Do you think that that is an element of who is there? Is that what's standing over you at night is that faction of yourself that you've cleaved off because you touched yourself as a child, or you had impure thoughts about the woman in the third row at church? Those are the little elements of you that are still darting around. You just have to learn how to reincorporate them and accept that it's okay to be human and flawed.
In fact, I'll give you four variations on my understanding of shadow people.
Please.
I grew up in a neighborhood full of shadow people, even people who didn't believe in the paranormal or the supernatural. They'd be walking or driving through the neighborhood, and it's like, this is so weird. I swear I see a person standing off to the side. It's like a shadow of a person. I go to look at it, and then it's gone. And I saw three or four of those on the way here. And I'm like, yeah, that's what these things are. But communicating with them is weird. They don't talk like we do. They don't have a communication style like they do. And it seems that they're just as confused by us as we are of them. So I have to wonder if they aren't some sort of an interdimensional entity or some sort of a crossover with a parallel universe. I don't know yet. I don't know what those are. Another version of shadow people is what I call a shade. It is a false facade that we build up over our entire lifetime, a fake personality. And it tends to be connected with vice, addictions, and that sort of thing. And when a person dies, the soul may go one direction, but the shade goes another direction to get its fix. You know, it'll hang out in dive bars. It'll look for those people that are vulnerable in the ways that this thing wants its energy. And so we will see them as shadow figures. And they are literally trying to get us to have another drink or say this awful thing to that other person or start this conflict because it feeds them. Another form of shadow person is our own projection. I will always hold that human beings are powerfully creative. We don't realize how creative we are. We create thought forms. We create egregores, which are collectively created entities based on belief. And we will project our energies out there to show up as one of these created entities, one of these false entities, so to speak. I mean, they're real. They'll mess with us, but they can be scary as heck sometimes because they're centered around our fear. We created them, and then they will feed off of us. And then the fourth type is I'm the type of person that if you tell me that there's a spirit in your house banging on the doors, flickering the lights on and off, I'm going to say, well, what did the electrician say about that? You know, what is the airflow? How do you have a draft that might be? I want to know the mundane explanation first. And I will say a vast, vast, vast majority of the time people had a sleep paralysis experience where there was a shadow being in the room. It was because they were in a hypnagogic state and that they were not imagining, but sort of open-eyed dreaming that there was a hag, that there was a demonic entity or something in the room. It wasn't really there. It was just a figment of the dream state that they were in, projecting that there was an entity there. So interestingly enough, in all of these cases, except for the shadow people that are interdimensional, we are the creators of those shadow entities. We are the ones that generate them and feed them.
Yeah, I've often wondered, if we start to take stock of things in those moments, like when we have dream issues and dream visitations, to have that notebook next to the bed or maybe even a recorder so that you can just state it quickly. You don't have to worry about turning on a light, fumbling in the dark, waiting for your eyes to adjust and try to write. Just record what that dream meant, what it was. If you see a shadow person on that day, is there something specific that stood out to you? Was there something you did that was maybe, you know, that you did something wrong? You were hurtful, you were negative, you were lustful, you were greedy or jealous. Is that an element of you that's hanging around? When you find the most frightening ones, right, which are the ones with the red eyes glowing at you in the dark, right? confront that creature right then and there. What are you? Why are you here? If you can communicate mentally, verbally, whatever, but know that it does not have power over you, right? Even if it's a manifestation of you, you're still the one creating it.
Correct. And in 100% of all of those cases, I have a quick fix for anybody. If you have like one of these negative experiences, if you're feeling like that fear, that creep out feeling, or you're having a shadow experience like that, what I want you to do is I want you to laugh. I want you to genuinely laugh, crinkle your eyes. Even if you have to fake laugh until you real laugh, laugh. Because if it is a negative entity, if it is a low-level bottom feeder, if it's trying to get fear or negative energy out of you, that laughter energy is going to be a poison to it. It's going to repel it. It's not going to want to stick around. And don't worry, it's not going to think that you're laughing at it and get angry, but it might push back harder because you might have been a good source of food, so laugh even more. But the second thing is, if you misinterpreted what that being was, if you misinterpreted why it's there and you're putting out this laughter energy and you're having a good time, you're going to build a good connection with something that's there that really wants to communicate with you for a beneficial reason. So no matter what, have a good laugh because it resets everything to your benefit.
And we saw how well that worked and how much more power came from laughter when we watched Monsters, Inc. So obviously Pixar knows all of the truths, Kadri.
They sneak some truths in there. They really do.
Yeah, they do. We got about a minute and a half left together in this segment. Beautiful, insightful concepts. Again, facing our fears, facing that darkness, it can be scary. I often wonder, though, are these also the whisperers? Are they the guardians of us? When we're sleeping, are we at our most vulnerable? That's when we may be soul traveling, astral projecting out of our body. And these beings are there to make sure that we're safe. What do you think of that, Kadrick? Or am I just being too optimistic?
Not at all. Not at all. We should explore more of the sleep state because there's something that very important that happens when we're in that sleep state. And you're absolutely right. That might be a guardian there to protect us. It might actually be something trying to communicate with us because we're more open for that one. It might be just somebody wandering by going, wow, what's this energy here? There's a lot of reasons why these things show up. And I will say in my 50 years of working with the paranormal, there's nothing scary out there except for what we create. We're the creators of the scary stuff. They don't naturally exist.
All right, when we come back, let's talk about shadow work. How can we begin to change things within our own lives, facing the darkness, stepping into the darkness in a place of power, not evil, but darkness, and regaining the control over our living force, our shadow force, and bringing it all together. Kadrick Olson, our guest. Kadrick, I feel like I'm doing a disservice if I don't put this out there. How can people follow you, learn more about you, and learn of your teachings?
Great question. My website is kadrick.com. That's a great place to go. And if you just use my name, Kadrick, you go to Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, just typing in my name will open all sorts of doors for you. Even go to Google, type in my name, and that's the portal. That's the key that unlocked those doors.
Wait, can you hear it right now? I can hear the keyboards angrily. But Dave, how the hell do you spell Kadrick? It's KAEDRICH.com. That's KAEDRICH.com. And I will include a link on today's program guide for you as well. Shadow work. Now let's start talking about, in these last couple of segments we have together, Kadrick, how can we become re-empowered? And people that are interested in the paranormal, people that are interested in what comes next, all of this, how do we start working with both sides of the spectrum and do it safely, protecting ourselves from both ends? Because I got to guess giving power to either side can be dangerous.
Right. Well, we begin just by being aware. Just by being aware. If we're out in public and we see somebody with some funky hair and we're suddenly triggered going, oh, why are they doing that? Why do they look like that? Don't they know that they look so stupid? They don't look like the ridiculous. Great. Has nothing to do with them. That's a shadow raising its hand going, hey, take a look at this. If you are at work and your boss shows up and you're suddenly go, oh, I gotta look busy. I gotta do this. I gotta do this because the boss is there. Cool. That's a shadow. If you're with a loved one and they start bringing up something confrontational and you shrink and you hold back and you're like, No, they don't know what they're talking about, but you keep your mouth shut. That's a shadow. And so what you want to do is just recognize it. That's all you have to do is go, oh, look, it has nothing to do with their hair. Why is that bothering me? Oh, why do I get so upset when the boss is around? What's going on with that? Why am I keeping my mouth shut when confronted? Just asking that question of why. And then ask yourself, where did I learn this? Where did that come from? And what does that mean about me? That's the important part. Because we may find out that the reason why we laughed at that person or had a hard time with the person with the hair is because maybe we were a kid and we did something funky. We got out the scissors and we cut our hair in a weird way and mom and dad treated us like crap. And then when we were in school and we hung out with the popular kids or whatever, and then our way of fitting in was to laugh at the people that were different. And we realized, oh, this is just a part of me that says I'm different too. I can express my uniqueness, that it's okay to be different. And I'm getting upset that they're sharing their uniqueness because I want to share my uniqueness. Is it safe to do so? And then when you realize that, you realize, no, the really cool thing about me is I have these unique qualities that nobody else has in the world. And you would have never discovered that if you didn't let yourself be upset by the person with the funky hair. If you didn't go, well, why is that bugging me? And that's really, in essence, I mean, there's a lot of tools. We go deep sometimes, but that's how it starts, is recognizing those things that irk you, that bug you, and then just being accepting of it. Don't push it down. Don't go, ooh, no, that's awful. I can't be like this. I'll give you a quick example how it shows up in the spiritual communities. People who get angry. As long as you've got an amygdala and a brainstem, which you do, you're going to get angry no matter what. And somebody sometimes going to make you angry. But in a lot of these spiritual circles, I'll say, no, that's a lower level emotion. That's a low emotion. You have low vibration. You need to put some more peace, love, and light on it. You have to meditate. It just means you're not doing your spiritual work right. So a person gets angry, and then they're suddenly filled with shame going, oh, I'm not a very spiritual person. I must not be doing this right. I'm bad. I'm this terrible person. I got angry. My answer to that is stop. Your anger is normal. Your anger is setting a boundary. Your anger is telling you why it's important, what your values are, and why these things are so important to protect and save. The real shadow is that shame that showed up for being a typical, normal human being. And when you address that shame, when you recognize that shame, because you want to fit in, you don't want to feel like you're doing a bad job, but you can actually connect that anger to higher self, to your prefrontal cortex. You can treat it to like a higher level energy, still get angry, but do it in a higher minded way. And then you're like, oh, there's no shame here. I helped people because I got angry. And so that in essence is that shadow work, is recognizing that darkness, accepting it, realizing what it really means about you, and then owning that authenticity of yourself and living it, breathing it, being it.
You know, there's an interesting element when you brought up the fact of seeing somebody and something about their look just irritates you, right? And okay, all right, that's how you, why do you feel that way? What, you know, how is that affecting or impacting you? And I've actually, you know, as a fan of the Monkees, Mike Nesmith made a really interesting comment on one of the episodes at the end. And anybody can appreciate something beautiful. It takes something special to appreciate something ugly. It takes something, and it doesn't mean that you're a better person, but you're looking beyond the veneer of what everybody sees to see more. And if you're having a hard time processing that concept, folks, for men and women alike, I want you to think about that one kind of nerd or dork in class that slipped into one of your dreams. And when you woke up, you couldn't stop thinking of them. And you saw them in a different way. And then think about how many people are like, I can't believe she's with that guy or that he's with that girl. What does he see in her? He's so good looking. She's so beautiful. What is it? Because that person saw beyond the veneer of what we all see and quickly conceptualize and saw what stood behind it, right? I don't know, Dave. That sounds kind of hokey to me. Well, that's why the show Beauty and the Beast was so well loved, and seeing beyond the gruff exterior, seeing beyond the ugliness is where, again, the magic lies. Getting past that, challenging and saying, maybe I should get to know this person. Maybe I should sit down and talk to this person and find out what it is about them. And once you get to realize the personality is so beautiful, and think about this, how many of you have done this? You realize there's somebody in your group that may not be as physically appealing, but man, they're a light. They walk in the room and that place burns bright. and the laughter resonates. And there's something about that, that we have to learn to get over the book and its cover, right? And judging those moments. I don't know. I just, that's what I see in this, is that's what kind of facing the shadow is not pushing it down further because we're ashamed of it, but accepting, oh, that's really dumb. Why do I feel that way? You know, I should open up. And I guess that's a negative way to say, well, it's really dumb to feel that way. But in a way, you have to anchor that. You have to give it a, you know, it's human. I'm obviously naturally having an opposing view of this, but now let's go beyond this. And Kadrick, you look like you are straight out of, you know, Dragon's Lair and the Vikings TV show. Not a guy I probably would have gone up to and talked to at a bar, not because I'm better than you, but just because you're probably a biker. I'm not a biker. You're probably this, and probably 9 out of 8, that'd be a crazy math, but, you know, 9 out of 10 things I'm perceiving of you probably aren't even correct.
Oh, yeah. I definitely have an intimidating presence when I'm in the room. That's why I like to also say tongue in cheek when it comes to paranormal things. I tend to be the scariest thing in the room. Right. But when we're talking, and I admit I'm shy and introvert, but when talking with people, that veneer sloughs off quickly and they get to know, it's like, oh, you're not big and scary. You just look at it. And I'm like, yeah, I could fit in on a Vikings TV show, but I'm not scary.
And let me take this moment before we go to break. For any of you that meet us in public, any of these paranormal personalities, most of us are introverts. And I try to mention this at every event because I don't want people to prejudge us. But a lot of us feel like, you know, we stay with our little cliques, not because we're better than you, but because inherently shy people do that. And if you actually approach us and talk, it might be a little unnerving for us, but then we start to flourish and we'll talk to you as well. So don't always judge people that they're narcissistic or rude or obnoxious or conceited. It just very well may be they're shy. Tonight has just turned into an amazing show with you, Kadrick. I've really enjoyed having this conversation. I hope people are taking something away from this. There is some darkness in the world, and there are scary moments. And it's okay to have those moments. It's okay to be afraid because there's warnings in that. There's something about that that teaches us how to proceed and move forward. But it doesn't mean that we have to stop. It just means we have to learn a new way. We have to re-examine how we do the things that we do and accept the things that we accept. You've given us some great tips and hints on the beginning of shadow work for ourselves, right? When you start to work on those elements, will we see the shadow elements of the people around us begin to change as well?
In fact, I love that when that happens. There are two things I see happen when people do shadow work regularly is after a while, when they start to recognize their shadow, it's not like, oh, there's another one. It's like, ooh, cool shadow. Great. What do you have to show me? And then when they see other people projecting their shadow, they're like going, oh, that's your shadow there. That's you trying to project that darkness. That's not mine. I don't need to take that on. And it's really powerful when they start to see it coming from like a parent or a sibling, somebody that would always poke their trigger and make them feel bad or shut them down. And now they're doing their shadow work and they're like, oh, you're doing that again. Cool. Well, I know what you have to work on, but doesn't affect me anymore. It's a wonderful empowerment that people get out of shadow work. It puts them in their power place and it really sets them up for success every step forward in their life. It's amazing.
I've watched discomfort happen in people. Recently I had a person kind of, attack me online. And what I did was I posted what they wrote. And then I asked for prayers because obviously this person is hurting. And it was interesting that easily 90% of the people that responded sent prayers and thoughts. And boy, this person is hurting. You can see it. This is not a normal reaction. And, it was over something I was proud. I've lost weight. I'm able to fit in a size 38 jean for the first time in 30 years. And I was excited about that. And I shared that moment. And, the person was like, well, F you, you're, it's not like you survived cancer. And I thought, wow, that's really painful and hurtful. Why would you say that? No, you're right. I didn't. Thankfully, that wasn't what brought my weight down or brought me into this. But can't we celebrate the good things? And, you know, I'll pray for you and I want people to do this. And I had people challenging, oh, you know what? You're just shows what a dirtbag you are to bring this person out. And I thought more about, well, it tells me a lot more about you than it does about me. And part of it is, yes, I'm going to post this because nobody should accept this as a response. We should never accept being attacked and brutally treated as an okay response. But what we can control is how we respond to it. And some people say, well, you should have just ignored it. No, because I don't think that person would learn from that. Maybe what they stopped and were shocked into, wow, that wasn't the response I expected. And I've had people do that over the last 18 years, 19 years of doing this, that then they'll privately write me and go, you're right. I don't know why I attacked you like that. I'm sorry. And thank you for asking for prayers for me. I'm not a prayer person, but I appreciate that. And we get to make those choices and we get to hold people accountable, but you can do it in a loving and respectful way that shines a light on the scary part, the way that they acted, the attack that they made, but take it away and replace that with, instead of me saying, oh yeah, you fat incompetent, how about, instead you can say, man, I'm sorry you're going through this kind of pain. And I'm glad that I'm an easier target for you. And I hope that you'll lash out at me and maybe not somebody close to you. But I pray for your soul. I pray for your happiness. I pray for your heart to start feeling better. So am I doing shadow work without even realizing it, Kadrick?
Actually, you are. Because you're calling out, you're bringing awareness to the shadow, and then you're bringing, in a sense, that light of acceptance. That here, I know what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. And I feel your pain. And I hope that goes away. I mean, we can even do this in the moment. If somebody comes up to us and says something rude or attacking to us, a great way to diffuse that is like, oh, what do you mean by that? Can you help explain that more? And that right there, maybe they didn't even realize they were doing it. So many people react and act without even thinking or awareness of it. And when we ask for that explanation, right there, we're asking for light. We're bringing that light in and it catches them off guard. And then maybe they will explain it better. And maybe they got a good point. Maybe they're not acting from a shadow. Maybe they're actually upset about something legitimate. You know, we all make mistakes. We all have that happen. And it's okay to hold us accountable. You know, it's okay to tell me if I mess up. And I want that enlightenment. But if they are coming from a shadow place, this brings that light. And I'm like, So yeah, you are doing a form of shadow work by doing that. Absolutely.
It makes me feel better about the world around me. And it's easy right now because we live in a cynical time and we live in a time of uncertainty. What we can choose is how we respond to the things that take place in our lives. And listen, I'm still fighting a battle, man. Depression, anxiety still get a hold of me, Kadrick, right? And there are days I feel like I'm just not worthy to be here. But I also feel like that's not a legacy I want to leave behind. I don't want people to realize that when things get tough, you can check out. Because every time I've pushed past that feeling, something pretty remarkable happens. And you might not see it all the time because you're expecting butterflies and millions of dollars, but maybe it was meeting a new friend. Maybe it was finding, you know, the perfect outfit for this upcoming event. Maybe it's just something simple, but it was a win. And we have to start acknowledging those moments.
Absolutely. And that's one of the key components of shadow work too, is not only engaging in the darkness and learning from the darkness, but also embracing the stuff that is just full blown in the light. What are your accomplishments? What are your values? What are you good at? What are you successful with? What are the things in your life that is going so well? And that kind of brings us all the way back around to some of this work that we've been talking about. That if we look at our life around us and we're like, oh, I've got the bills paid. I've got all this taken care of, but there's only $20 left. This just is terrible. Or we can go, look, I've got all this taken care of. The foods, the bills are paid and I got $20 left after that. How cool is that? And that's just that shadow shifting, and you get more of what you put out into the world. And that's an important part of doing shadow work, is to shift that for you.
And this is all tied to the paranormal, folks, because again, we have to start to accept that these strange occurrences, these things around us, are not paranormal. They're not above the normal. They're part of our life, right? They're like, Bigfoot is a cryptozoological creature until we capture one. And then it will be a zoological creature. So what we're looking at in life is that you have to move forward, accept these different elements, see the magic in the things around you. Have those moments. Don't walk in a place of fear, because that's when you'll see the glimmering light. You'll see that the vampire is not a threat, that it is the sparkly, beautiful vampire in the sunlight, all right, of twilight. And I know I just made a lot of people cringe with that, but It's why you should look at things in different ways. And I hope that you'll continue to tune into a show like this and learn more. This has been the Paranormal 360.